Today's daf is Chaf Dalet. Let's just review the last sugya that we started actually yesterday on Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, and that's the sugya of Rav Huna Bered Rabbi Yeshua. His statement was attached to a brisa. The brisa establishes the fundamental principle of a karpaf, which is an area that's very large, and if it's more than a base sasayim, it's called a karpaf. And even if it was initially surrounded by mechitzos for residential purposes, like imagine you have a plot of land outside your house, even though it's very large, but you do all sorts of things there. You know, you have picnics there and so forth. But in this case, he started planting vegetables in this karpaf. And when you have a vegetable garden, it's very difficult to walk around without stepping on cabbages, as we mentioned yesterday. And therefore, it becomes eino hukaf ledira. It's not residential anymore. And since it has the size of a beis hasayim and more, therefore it has what we call the status of a gina, which is a vegetable garden, and it's a karpaf. The Rabbanan said you're not allowed to carry there more than dalet amos. And the brisa goes on to make a qualification, which we'll get to a little bit later on today, and that is if he plants, instead of vegetables, he plants trees, then it still retains its status as a makom hukaf ledira, because trees provide foliage and they make it even more comfortable to use that area for residential purposes. That was the brisa. And Rav Huna Bered Rabbi Yeshua comments on this brisa that the only time we have a problem with this karpaf if it's more than beis hasayim. And it means that the area that was planted for vegetables is larger than a beis hasayim. That gives it the status of a karpaf. And it's no longer mishtamesh ledira. You can't use it for residential purposes. But if it would have been a beis hasayim, but not more, then even though it's not used for dira, nevertheless, you're allowed to carry there because it didn't exceed beyond the area of a karpaf, which is called a beis hasayim. And the Gemara at this point, and that was the last thing that we discussed yesterday, attaches Rav Huna to a shita of Rabbi Shimon. And that's a machlokes at the end of Masechta Erevin between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you have different areas like Gagos, Chatzeros, and Karpifos, they're all considered Rishus Achas. So for example, if you have utensils that with the onset of Shabbos found their way into a Gag, or into a Karpif, or a Chatzer, then you're allowed to carry from one to the other. Again, as far as carrying from your house out to a gag, that's a different purpose, or out to a chatzah, but that's a different issue. But as far as carrying within those areas themselves, they're all considered rishus achas, and therefore you're allowed to take kelim from a gag into a chatzah, from a chatzah into a gag, from a gag into a karpaf, and so forth and so on. Now, the Gemara is not happy with this because even if we take Rabbi Shimon, we're still not able to validate the statement of Rav Huna Bered Rabbi Yeshua. And this is for the following reason. You have two parts to this karpaf. You have one section of the karpaf that was planted for vegetables. You have another part of the karpaf, which is the minority of the karpaf, that was left open as open area. It wasn't planted, and therefore it's still hukaf ledira. It's still considered residential. Now, even though it's true, and I grant you that the area that was planted as a garden with vegetables is Beis Asayim, but not more, but nevertheless, since the minority, the mute of this Karpath is open area, it is Batel, it loses its status, and is, so to speak, swallowed up by the general Karpath, which is Rubo Nizra Lirokos. And therefore, if the unplanted area of the Karpath loses its status, then we can now expand the area of the Karpath, and it goes beyond Beis Asayim. How, therefore, can Rav Huna permit carrying? And that's the Gemara right here on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, which is our daf for today. And the Gemara's language is that Kevin Shenizra Rubo Havi Ahumi Uta Batale Legabe Rubo. So that the smaller area of unplanted ground is Batel to the rove, to the larger area of planted Nizra, and therefore we now have, when we combine A plus B, A being the majority, which is Nizra, and B being the minority, we have an area that's more than Beis Asayim, and that entire area is one entity as a Karpath, which is larger than a Beis Asayim, is lo hukaf ledira, because we're going to determine the nature and define this area based on rov. So we're now up to the second line on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. This is what we got up to yesterday. Ela I itmar hachi itmar. The Gemara now is going to reformulate the statement of Rav Huna Berei deRabbi Yoshua and explaining that brisa. And we have no choice but to assume that when the brisa says that it was Nizra Rubo, if most of the Karpath was planted, then we should be very careful about reading this brisa. Only if it's Nizra Rubo, then is it Osilitaltal Hamiuta Shari. But if, on the other hand, only a minority of the area of the Karpath was planted, then you're allowed to carry in it. And then Amar Rav Huna Breit Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna commenting on this brisa, says that this heter that allows you to be metaltil because it's only Nizra Mi'uto, lo amaran ela delo havi beis asayim. That only makes sense and only applies if the area, the minority area of this Karpath, which was planted as a vegetable garden, is less than or equal to a Beis Asayim. Aval Beis Asayim Asur. But if the part that was planted as a garden has the dimensions of a Karpath, and again, it was Eino Mukaf Lidira, because it was used for Zroim, and you plant it there, that's not a comfortable place to use it, then it's Asur, even in the area that's Lo Nizra, even in the open area, because since the Makom HaNizra, the part that was planted, and the part that wasn't planted, they are to some extent separate, and the Makom HaNizra now is considered a Karpath. And the reason for that is, again, because it's not usable, it's not comfortable to use. And the part that's not planted has the status of what's called a chatzer. Now, we have a principle in Erevin, throughout this Masechta, that if you have a chatzer that opens up, completely open, to another area, which is not muta betiltel, meaning because it has, in this case, the chatzer opens up into a Karpath, then you're not allowed to carry from this chatzer into the Karpath. And even though Rabbi Shimon perhaps would allow that, because Rabbi Shimon holds, as we mentioned earlier, that Gagos, Chatzeres, and Karpifos, you're allowed to carry one from the other, so even if I grant you that the area of a Beis Asayim that was planted is a Karpath, but nevertheless, the chatzer which was not planted opens up into a Karpath, and Rabbi Shimon allows you to carry from a Karpath into a chatzer, from a chatzer into a Karpath. However, we're going now according to the Rabbanon. And the Rabbanon say you're not allowed to carry from a chatzer into a Karpath. And since this chatzer opens up directly into a Karpath, And this area of a Beis HaSayim, which was planted for garden as a vegetable garden, has the status of a karpaf. It has a shame karpaf. Then we're not going to allow you, says Rav Huna, to carry from the chotzer into the karpaf. And that's what Rav Huna meant when he said that if the Mokom HaNizra and the Mokom Shelo Nizra are prutzim zel azeh, they're open one into the other, then there are surim zel zeh, and you're not allowed to carry in this entire karpaf. And Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, now we have a slightly different version of Rav Huna, Breid Rabbi Yeshua, that's Rabbi Yirmiyahu Midifti, Masni Lekula, he has the words of Rav Huna, Breid Rabbi Yeshua, as a kula, a little bit more of a leniency than the way the Gemara quoted it until now. And what he wants to do, Rav Yirmiyah, in interpreting Rav Huna, is to derive from the Mishnah that only if it's Nizra Rubo is it Asur, and HaMi'uto Shari. But if the area of the Karpaf that was planted as a garden is only the Mi'ut, it's the minority, then you're allowed to carry. And on that, Omar Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yeshua, Lo Amoron Ela Beis Sasayim. The part that was planted was a Beis Sasayim, but not more than a Beis Sasayim. And even though that part that's planted is considered an area unto itself, and if it had Mechitzos that would surround just this Beis HaSayim that was planted as a vegetable garden, you would be allowed to carry there because it's not more than a Beis HaSayim. So even though it's lo hukaf lidira, but nevertheless, if it's up to and equal to Beis HaSayim, but not beyond, then you're allowed to carry there. But here we have a different situation. Why? Because Aval Yosemi Beis HaSayim, says Rav Huna, if the area that was planted as a garden is larger than a Beis HaSayim, then it has the din of a Carmelis, and therefore even had you had a separate Hekef Mechitzos, Mechitzos that would surround this area of Mokom HaNizra, which is Yosem Beis HaSayim, it would be Mechitzos around the Carmelis, and you're not allowed to carry inside a Carmelis. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry even from the area which is Lo Nizra, which we said has the status of a Chotzer, because now the chotzer's parutz, it opens up into a karmelis. And therefore it's also to be metaltel anywhere in this karpaf. And even if you hold kiman ki Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Shimon normally allows you to carry from a chotzer into a karpaf, but nevertheless not in this case, because in this case the karpaf, insofar as it's more than a Beis HaSayim and it was planted as a garden, it already gets the status of a karmelis. And Rav Shimon would agree that you're not allowed to carry from a chotzer into a karmelis. So that the advantage, so to speak, of Rav Yirmiyah on the previous understanding of Rav Huna is that now Rav Huna could reconcile himself with Rabbi Shimon. Okay. Now we want to talk about trees. And we said in the Brice that Nita Rubo, Nita, Nitiya means trees were planted. Hareyu kechotzer umutar. It's not a karpaf, but rather it's a chotzer, and you're allowed to carry there because there's no bittel of the dira. Karpaf means a lohukaf ledira, but here the hekef mechitzos is for the sake of dira, because as we said before, the trees afford shade and they only enhance your comfort as a residential area. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav Vimi, Vehu Kshasuyin Itz Tablos. According to Rav Yehuda, we have to restrict and qualify this heter of Netias Ilonos, and it's only if the Ilonos are planted in rows. But if you have a tree that's planted here and planted there randomly throughout the karpaf, that's not something that's considered a hukaf ledira. When you're hukaf ledira, you have a deliberate system and a set pattern of rows, which is called its tablos, as where you plant the trees one row at a time. And that's enjoyable, to sit between the rows of trees and enjoy the shade. Rav Nachman Omer Afal Pisha Ein Asuyin Itzablos. He says that even if there's no seder and you plant a tree here and a tree there, it still is not mevatel l'dirur. It's still considered hekef makom dira. And the Gemara now tells the following story. Rav Mar Yehuda Ikla Lebei Rav Huna Bar Yehuda. When Mar Yehuda visited Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Chazinu, he saw him, Lahanu, that there were trees that were planted in a karpaf. The karpaf area was larger than a base of Sayim. Delo avidei its tablos. And the trees were planted here, there, helter-skelter. They were not planted in rows. And nevertheless, v'kometalteli begavayu, he saw that Rav Huna was carrying there. Omole, so Mar Yehuda asks very politely, lo sovra lo mar lo hod avimi. We had a statement of Ravimi that was transmitted by Rav Yehuda, that the only time we could maintain the status of hukaf l'dira with regard to planting trees is only if they're in atztablos. And here they're planted is helter-skelter. Amalei, so Rav Huna responds, Anokar Rav Nachman svirli, I accept the shita, the kula of Rav Nachman, that any trees, wherever you plant them, would not undermine the status of hukaf l'dira, and you're allowed to carry between them. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel Karpaf, Yoser mi beis hasan shelo hukaf l'dira. Let's say you have an area that's larger than a beis hasayim, and you had already set up mechitzos to surround that area, and it's lo hukaf l'dira. Right now, you have no residential purposes, no tashmishei dira that you're enjoying. But you made a decision that now you want to put that area into use. You want to set up your picnic tables there, etc., etc. And the question is, how can you now be matir tiltul in that area, since the original hekef mechitzos was shalolashem dira? Ketzad hu oseh, how can he now remove the isur of tiltul be-karpaf? And the answer is Poretz bo pirza yoser mi eser vigojo mamido al eser. What he's got to do is he has to do a new hekef mechitzos. Now, what does that mean? Does he have to take out all, take apart, break down all the mechitzos that surround the karpaf? That would be asking too much. But the answer is he has to choose one of those mechitzos, and he has to breach the mechitza, an opening of more than 10 amos. And as we've discussed in the past, a mechitza that has an opening of more than 10 amos wide, that's called a pirtza, and it invalidates the status of mechitza. If it's 10 amos or less, then that's called a pesach. It's an opening into a mechitza. But once it's yoser me'eser amos, it loses its status as a mechitza. And now he's going to put up a fence or fill in the area of this breach. And in effect, what he's done is, he's now created a new mechitza. The old mechitza's history, and umutar, and now he can be metaltel in the karpaf, because he has now created a hekef mechitzos l'shem dira. Iboiluhu, and this Iboiluhu is going to occupy our minds for a while, very fascinating question that the Gemara asks. Paratz amo v'godar amo, paratz amo v'godra. What happens if instead of making this breach in one fell swoop of more than 10 amos in the mechitza, instead he breaks open the mechitza one amma, then he fills in that amma with a new, kind of closure, puts in a dict, then he breaks down a different amma and he fences it in, he closes it in, until he finally gets to the point where there's more than 10 amos of this original mechitza that's gone, but there was never one moment in time where he had a pirtza of more than 10 amos, because he always fixed it after he broke up that amma. And the Gemara is wondering whether or not you have to break up the the mechitza in one fell swoop, more than 10 amos wide, or is it enough that you break up the mechitza piecemeal, fixing it after each piece of breakage, in such a way that from the original mechitza, you no longer have a mechitza which would be valid? You know, if you go back in history and you identify that original mechitza, that original mechitza is gone, because the more than 10 amos worth of the mechitza has been replaced. Amar lahu, so this is Rav Nachman responding to the question, lav hainu disnan, can we not respond to your question with an analogy to a Mishnah Masechta Kelim? Kol klei eitz lebalei batim shi'uron kirimonim. At what point does a balabayis say that he has a hole in a utensil that's so large that he's going to just throw it in the rubbish? It's no longer worth it. And the shear is kirimon. In other words, if it's only a hole that a zayis, an olive, will fall through, that's a smaller fruit, then he would still retain the utensil. He's not going to throw it out because he'll fix it up. But at some point, if the nekev becomes so wide that even a rimon would fall through, then the kli is completely batel. It doesn't have a shame kli. He's going to throw it in the rubbish. And therefore, the tumah is completely gone. It's parchal yavir. So even though this kli came in contact with a zav, a zova, whatever it might be, nevertheless, the kli now loses its status as a kli because it has the opening of a rimon, and therefore it is tar. Boy, Chizkiah, and Chizkiah wanted to know what happens if he breaks, there's a hole in the kli, and piecemeal, he fixes up that hole. Nikev kemotzi zayis. So first he has an opening that's only one olive size. It still has the shear of a kli, the status of a kli. Ustamo. And he plugs it up. Then chazav nikev kemotzi zayis. He has another hole somewhere else in the kli of kemotzi zayis. Ustamo. Achish limo limotzi rimon. If you calculate now all the different holes in the kli, and put it all together, you have more than a rimon. Mao. So Chizkiah wanted to know what would be the din in this case. On the one hand, he kept fixing up the hole, plugging it up, so he never actually had at any moment in time a hole with airspace of kemotzei rimon. But on the other hand, if you talk about the original kli and compare the kli now to what it once was, you have less than a full kli there, because the original kli is now missing kibotzei rima. Fi amar lei Rabbi Yochanan. Now keep in mind, Rabbi Yochanan is a student of Chizkiah. Rabbi, my Rebbe, Shani Salana, you taught us a Mishnah, Masechta Kelim, and based on that Mishnah, we have an answer to your question. This is a brilliant case where a Talmud points out to his Rebbe that something that the Rebbe himself had taught gives us the answer. Sandal. Now we're talking about a zav. A zav, if he puts his weight down on something, that's called tumas medris. And tumas medris makes the object into an av hatuma. So when the zav puts his foot into the sandal, into this sandal, the shoe, and he puts his weight down, then the sandal itself becomes an av hatuma. That's a unique halachot called tumas medris. And an av hatuma is metame adam v'kelim. And that's a super duper tuma. And now what happened was, regarding this sandal, nifsika achas mi oznov, right? The sandal is built in such a way that it has two oznayim, two kinds of ears or rings on both sides, and you put in the ritsuos, the various straps, you put it into these two holes, and you tie it around your foot. And only one of the oznayim, in this case, broke. At this point, it still retains its status as a sandal, as a kli, because he'll figure out a way of putting in the Ritzua on one side, etc., etc. Then Vitikna. He fixes up that Ozen, that side, that ring on that side. So Tomei Medrash. It still retains its status as Tomei Medrash. Even though one of the Oznayim was broken off, it's not Mevatel L'shem Sandal. However, Nifsika Hashnia, if the second Ozen on the other side of the sandal breaks, Vitikna, and again he fixes it, Tahar Min HaMedrash, Aval Tomei Maga Midrash. There's another Tumah which is called Maga, and in this case, all the different parts of the sandal are separate parts, and each one touches each other, and that's called Tumas Maga Midrash. Not Midrash, we shouldn't confuse it, it's Tumas Maga. And Tumas Maga, relative to Tumas Midrash, is a Tumah Kala, because it's not an Avat Tumah to be Metame or the Mekalim, it's only Metame Ochlim and Mashkin. In any event, the question now is the following. What difference does it make? Why does the Mishnah tell us in Kalim that if the second Ozen falls off, it's Tarmina Medrash? Which means Batul Ben Hashem Sandal. That doesn't make any sense. If one of the Oznaim fell off, it still has a Shem Sandal. He went ahead and he fixed that one Ozen, and now the second Ozen fall down. So why does it lose its Shem Sandal? Amrat Allah, and Chizkiah interpreted that Mishnah on our behalf, says Rabbi Yochanan. Maishna Rishona. Why is it that when he loses one of the Oznaim, it breaks off? It still retains its Tumas Medrash and its Shem Sandal, Darkai Mishniah, because he has the other Ozen. Ishniah Nami, it doesn't make sense, Darkai Mishona. Even if the second Ozen falls off, why should the Shem Sandal be Paka? He has the first Ozen, he's replaced it. He was Mitakin this Sandal. Fiamet Lo Allah, and you, Chizkiah Rebbe, you explain to us, Panim Chadosh is Bo'olakan, that now that he has replaced the original two Oznayim, and let's assume that he didn't wear the shoe, this Zav, in between. So now, what happens is that if we compare the sandal to what it is today, to what it was then, when it was Mekabel to his Medrash, we don't have the original two Oznayim. The original two Oznayim are gone. He's replaced both of them. But that's called Panim Chadoshes. That's a brand new sandal, and he hasn't worn this sandal yet. So it's not Tomei. So says Rabbi Yochanan to Chizkiah, based on what you taught us in the Mishnah in Kalim, Hachanami here too, by analogy, in the case where he had a Nekev in a Kli Eitz that was the size of an olive, and he fixed it. And then he had another Nekev, and he fixed it, and another Nekev is Panim Chadoshes, Bo'olakan. If we compare the Kli as it is today to what it was originally, when it was Mekabel Tumah, then you have more than a Nekev of Moli Rimo, meaning there's a size of a Rimon opening that is missing from the original Kli. And when Chizkiah hears this presentation of Rabbi Yochanan, he gets so excited, Kari Aleh, he calls him Les Dein Bar Inish. This person is not a human being. He's a Malach Hashem. Ika Diami, another Lushna, he used a kind of idiomatic phrase. He said, Kagon Dein Bar Nush. You know, such a person is so great. And this is how Rav Nachman answered the question that the Bnei Yeshiva were asking him, about a place that was Hukaf Shalola Dira, and then there was a breakage in the wall of one Amma. He fixed up that one Amma, another breakage of an Amma, another breakage. He kept fixing it up until finally the breakage was more than 10 Ammas. And if we compare the Mechitza today to what it originally was when it was Shalom Hukaf Ledira, we have a brand new Mechitza. It's Panim Chadoshes Bo'olakan. So we have a new Hekef, which is now being a Hekef Ledira. And therefore, you'd be allowed to carry. Amar Rav Kahana, Rechava Shachorei Abatim, on the other side of his house, not the front entrance where he goes out into a chutzah, but on the back he has a plot of land, and he has no access from his house to the plot of land. He doesn't have a Pesach. And this plot of land, which is called a Rechava, is more than a Beis HaSayim. Ein metaltel bo el arba amos. It has the din of a Karpaf, which is more than a Beis HaSayim. And it's lo hukaf ledira, because as we said, he doesn't walk out of his house. He doesn't have a back door. However, Rav Nachman wants to say, what happens if now he wants to use this area called the Rachva, the Rechava, in Pasach, Om Rav Nachman, in Pasach lo Pesach, if he opens a doorway on his back, the back of his house, Mutul Talta Bakulo, Shah Pesach Matiro, now it becomes a Mokom She Meshamish Ladira. Right, he goes out through the backyard, he lays out that the sun, he, as we said before, he has a picnic there. However, says Rav Nachman, lo amar, this only applies El Kisher Posach. Ulabasof Hukaf. When did he put up the mechitzos? He put up the mechitzos around the Rechava only after he had opened up an entranceway, a door from the back of his house into the Rechava. Aval Hukaf. But if he first put up the mechitzos, he has no Pesach. So that hekef was a hekef shelo l'shem dira, l'besof pasach, then later, subsequently, he opened the door, lo, he's not allowed to carry there. So the Gemara asks, pasach l'besof hukaf pshita, in the case where he opened up a door, and then after a door that opens into the Rechava, and then he was makif with mechitzos, is pshita, that for sure would certainly be a hekef l'dira. Why did Rav Nachman have to tell me this din? Lo tzricha de ispe be dori. What he has here in the Rechava is a goren, which is a granary, and that's a place where you take the grains and you crush them and winnow them, etc. Ismael de tema, I would have said, if not for Rav Nachman, adai to the be dori avde, when he opens up an entrance way to the back of his house that goes into the Rechava. He's doing it for the purpose of his goren. He's not interested in eating his lunch over there. He needs to have access to his granary area. And that's not called Lidshem Dira, Kamash Balon. That's what Rav Nach wants to say. No, we're not going to say so. We're going to say that when he opens up this Pesach in the back of his house, he's doing it for the sake of Dira. And therefore, when he's makif afterwards, it's called a hekif ledir. Now, back on Daf Chav Gimel, the Gemara told us that if you have a karpaf shehukaf ledira, but you planted vegetables or zrayim, that's mevata ledir. And the Gemara wants to know, what happens if you have a karpaf, which was hukaf ledira, but now it got full of water? Let's say it was right near a river or so forth, the river started overflowing. Karpaf Yosef Ives HaSayim. Oh, even if it was Hukaf Ladira, I gave you the case where it's low. Oh, no, I said that. That's why I said Hukaf Ladira. Right. So if you have a Karpaf that's Hukaf Ladira, it's larger than Ives HaSayim, but now Nismali Mayim, it becomes full of water. Now, when you have water, I mean, he's not talking about a swimming pool here, it's very difficult to walk around the water and set up your picnic tables in that area. The Gemara was of the opinion that it's the same as planting vegetables. V'yaser, it's no longer hukaf ledira. So those original mechitzos can no longer be matu tiltil because now those mechitzos are surrounding a karpaf, which is not royal ledira. But the Gemara rejects this. Amaluhu Rab Abba Achua Durabrei Durab Mashar Shalchi Aminim Mishmei Durava Mayim Kinitoim Domu Vishari. The status of water is equal to that of trees. And you're allowed to be metaltal there. It's not mafkia dir. And it still remains hukaf lidira. But what kind of water are you dealing with? Omar Meimar here on the top of Chav Dalet Amid Beis, Vehu, this only applies Rava's Halacha, that we can equate water with trees, and it's not Mevatel Dira, that's only the Chazion L'Tashmisha, this is drinkable water. And that enhances his residence, because he wants to have water to drink. Avalo Chazion L'Tashmisha, if he can't drink the water, lo, then it's not like trees, which offer foliage and shade. It's like Zroim, then I'm a Vatel L'Diur. Omer Rav Ashi, now watch this statement of Rav Ashi. The Gemara is not going to be too happy with Rav Ashi. Dechazion l'tashmishta nami lo amorn. Even if the water is drinkable, I'm not going to accept Rava's principle, or apply Rava's principle, that it's not mevatel dir because the water is drinkable, ela, unless, kishe'en bi'omko yoser mi'beis asayim. Now, omko, here Rashi explains, means that the water, we're talking about ein omko, but let me explain omko first, is 10 tfachim deep. What that means is that if you have a ground area, and the water that fills and spills into your ground area is 10 tfachim deep, then even if the water is drinkable, says Rav Ashi, that's not going to salvage and allow you to carry there. Why? Because it's Yosemi Beis HaSayim. The area is larger than a Beis HaSayim. In Yesh B'Omko, Yosem Beis HaSayim Osur. Why? What is Rav Ashi's problem over here? The answer is that if the Mayim is 10 tfachim deep, that's Mevatel Es Hadiur. 10 tfachim is already a water that makes it very difficult. It's a deep enough water. Again, we're not talking about a swimming pool. Difficult to use that area. And the area is, again, more than a base of Sayim. It's called a Kapashalo Hukaf L'Dira. It has the status of a Carmelist, and it's also a tilt. The Gemara is not happy with Rav Ashi. V'lav Milsi. Don't pay any attention to what Rav Ashi said. Even if the water has the depth of 10 tfachim, and even if the area is more than a base of Sayim, and you have more than a base of Sayim's worth of 10 tfachim deep water, midi dahavya akaria deperi. It has the same din as a pile of fruits. Let's say you pile fruits up, and it reaches a height of more than 10 tfachim, and it doesn't matter how wide it is, it could be a base kor, and that's certainly more than a base asayim. It's not mevata l'dir in the karpaf, because he wants to use the fruits, and he's going to eat the fruits, and so too the same thing applies to water. Even if the water is 10 tfachim deep, nevertheless he wants to drink from this water, and that's enough to consider it a makom hukaf l'dira, and therefore there is no isur tilt. And now we get to the final sugya for today. Now, to really understand this sugya, we need to see a diagram, which I have here in my Gemara. I'm not sure if you have the diagram. So, just in case you don't have it, I'm going to try to use my mouth and my hands to sort of give you the picture of what we're talking about. We have what's called a rechava. A rechava, as we said before, is a large plot of land. Now, let's assume that this large plot of land is not used or dedicated for residential purposes. If it's large enough that it's more than a Beis HaSayim, it now has the status of a Karpaf, which is Osur B'Tiltul. You're not allowed to carry them more than 4 amos. But the situation of this Rechava is very unique because there are two openings, both coming north, going south, and the Rechava is in the middle, and going from the south north into the Rechava. So the two ways of getting access into this Rechava, if you're following my hand. So the Rechava is like a square in the middle, and you've got two pathways. One coming from on top, spilling into this Rechava. The other is coming from the bottom, going up into the Rechava. Now, what are these two pathways? And again, it matters not whether one is going on the top or coming down or the other is coming from the south. That's never relevant. I'll just give you one case. So let's say that from the top, what you have is a mavui. And that's an alleyway, and you may have homes that share that one common alleyway. On top of the Mavui, all the way on north, is Rishus HaRabim. So the members of the Rishus HaRabim come into this Mavui, and if they continue down the Mavui, they'll end up in this Rechava. What happens if they continue out of the Rechava? They end up into what's called a Shvil Shel Kramim, which means that there are vines planted to the right and to the left, and there's a pathway that leads you from the Rechava down through these areas on your right and left, which are vines, were planted vines, into a Rishus HaRabim. So you've got a Rishus HaRabim all the way on the top. You've got a Rishus HaRabim on the bottom. You have a Mavui that leads you on top from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rechava. If you keep continuing walking south, due south through the Rechava, you'll enter into a Shvil Shel Kramim, and that will lead you out to Rishus HaRabim. So the Gemara tells us the following: Ahi Rechava Dahavi Pum Nara. Pum Nara means that it was very, very large, and it was more than a Beis HaSayim. So you have a Rechava that has all the dinim of a Karpaf. It's more than a Beis HaSayim. It's Lo Hukaf Lidira. Dechad Gisa, on one side, Havi Pasiach. Pasiach means it has an entrance way, limasa, into a mavui. So if you're going north in our description, from the Rechava, you enter into the mavui. And that'll lead you to the Rishus HaRabim on top. The Chadgi, so if you go down south, havi pasiach, it will open up into a shvil shel kramim. And shvil shel kramim, havi solik leguda denara. The Shvil Shel Kramim will eventually lead you to what's called Gidot HaNahar, to the shore, so to speak, of a river. Now keep in mind that whenever you have a body of water in the Gemara's frame of reference, it usually means that the land, the ground, is higher up. In this case, the ground is higher up by 10 tfachim. So if you'd walk through the Shvil Shel Kramim, you can have a ten tefachim drop into the Nahar, into the Guda de Nara. The reason why that's significant is because that sets up an automatic mechitza. And again, you won't see the mechitza with your eyes. It's a legal, halachic mechitza that takes you from the water, the surface level of the water, all the way up to the Shvil, the ground of Kramim. And of course, once you have a mechitza of 10 tefachim, it goes all the way till the sky. So therefore, the Shvil Shel Kramim is surrounded by three mechitzas. It's closed on three sides, according to the halacha, because it has mechitza at the end. It has two ksalim, two walls on its both sides, right and left. And it leads you opening into a rechava, which has the status of a karmelis, of a karpaf, on its top end. Now keep in mind that when you go north from the Shvil Shel Kramim into the Rechava and you continue north, you're into a Mavui. That Mavui also has three mechitzos. It's got a mechitza on the right, a mechitza on the left, and at the end of the Mavui, before you enter into Rishus HaRabim, it has what's called a Tzuras HaPesach, which is the equivalent halachically of a mechitza. So basically, you've got a Mavui that's surrounded by three mechitzos, and you have a Shvil Shel Kramim that's surrounded by three mechitzos. And now, Omar Abaye Hechi Navid, the members of this community decided that they would like to use this Rechava for residential purposes. And how, the Gemara wants to know, this is going to be a Abaye and Rava to solve this problem. How could we be misaking the Rechava and now make it into a Mukefes Lidira so that now we can carry within the Rechava? Omar Abaye, Hechi Navid. Abaye says, what should we do over here? Li Avid Le Mechitza Aguda Denara. if we're going to set up a mechitza on the Sfas HaNohar, on the shore, is that's a problem. Why? Because Einosu mechitza al gabi mechitza. The halacha is that if you want to set up a mechitza, that would be a valid mechitza, now would be a hekif ledira. You cannot add a mechitza to a pre-existing mechitza. Like, let's say I have an area of a karpaf that's surrounded by mechitzas, and I just want to surround it with a second set of mechitzos for l'shem dira, hekev l'shem dira. That's not valid. You've got to remove the original mechitza and then replace it. And the original mechitza, as we said before, is the 10 tfachim from the water level up to the shvil shel krumim. And now by adding a mechitza at the entrance into the shvil shel krumim, you're really doing nothing because you have simply added a mechitza on top of a mechitza. That's not valid. Levit bei tzura sapesch apuma de shvil shel krumim. Maybe we should go from the shvil shel krumim all the way to the point before it enters into the rechava, and we'll set up a tzura sapesach. And right now there is no mechitza that separates the shvil shel krumim from the rechava, so he's creating a brand new mechitza, and he's doing so for the express purpose of being makif l'dira. That's not good either. Why, says Abai? Let's reject that possibility. Asu gamle shdoyonle. What's going to happen is that the camels that carry all these grapes, you know, for the farmers, are going to break through the tzuras haPesach. And that Tzuras HaPesach is not something that's stable and reliable. So we have to solve this problem in a way that the gemalim, the camels, will not undermine the mechitza. El Amar Abaye, Abaye suggests the following solution. Li Evid Lechi Apischa Deshvil Shel Krumim. He says the following. Instead of setting up this massive Tzuras HaPesach at the opening, the entranceway from the Shvil Shel Krumim into the Rechava, and that Shvil Shel Krumim is very insecure because the camels are going to, they're very tall camels, they're going to break down the Tzuras HaPesach. Let's just put up a Lechi. A Lechi, as we discussed in the past, is a Mashahu. It's this thinnest kind of thing on the side. It's not going to interfere with the Gemalim, and they're not going to knock it down. Now, what happens when you put up the Lechi? Now, let's understand. The Shvil Shel Krumim, as we discussed earlier, is surrounded by three mechitzos. You're not allowed to carry there because of the halacha that if you have an area that's used by many people and shared by many people, and it's only surrounded by three mechitzos, you're not allowed to carry there unless you put up either a lechi or a korah as a fourth mechitza. Well, this is great, says Abai. We're going to set up a lechi at the very end of the Shvil Shel Krumim. Again, when you say the end, what I mean is if you're going north, traveling from the Guda Denara up the Shvil Shel Krumim, and then you get into the entranceway into the Shvil Shel Krumim, which is exactly on the border of the Rechava, and that's where he's going to put up a lechi. That lechi will serve as a mechitza, A, for the Shvil Shel Krumim, and then we apply a din of migu, means that once the halacha recognizes and validates, in this case a lechi, but it could be something else, as a mechitza, then it's good to go. It has the halacha and the status of a mechitza for all purposes. And that's called in the language of the Gemara of Abaye, migu de mahanya l'shvil shel krum mahanya nami l'rechava. It's now equivalent to putting up a new mechitza, this lechi, to surround the Rechava. And now he's putting it up specifically for the express purpose of Dira. So it's a Hekev Dira. Amalei Rava. Rava's not happy with Abai. But keep in mind, fundamentally, Rava accepts all the mechanics and all the principles of Abai. He's just worried about a possible fallout. And that is, Imkein Yomru Lechi Moel L'Shvil Shel Krumim Be Alma. It seems that Shvil Shel Krumim is an entity. It's like a commodity almost in the market. And in the eyes of the populace, every Shvil Shel Krumim is the same. They don't have that unique halachic perspective and that sensitivity to understand the nuances of the differences. This Shvil Shel Kromim has three machitzos because it spills into a river on the end, and the river, we said, is 10 tefachim lower than the ground space, and therefore you have a machitza. But they compare this to a regular classic Shvil Shel Kromim. And a classic Shvil Shel Kromim is open on both sides. A lechi would not be sufficient, because that's called a mavoi mafulash, if you remember what we discussed. This lechi is only meaningful because the Shvil Shel Kromim has the guda and the nahara, which means it has another machitza in addition to the two machitzas on the right and the left. Therefore, he puts the lechi on the fourth side. But people are going to make the mistake in thinking that, oh, your Shvil Shel Kromim, I remember when Abaye allowed carrying in the Shvil Shel Kromim by putting up a lechi. When in truth, a lechi is not going to help you in your classic Shvil Shel Kromim. Elam Rava. Rava offers a different suggestion, and he says, Avdidin lei lechi lepischa de masa. Masa means the mavud. So let's drop our discussion about the Shvil Shel Kromim, because people are going to make mistakes and they can confuse this Shvil Shel Kromim with a classic Shvil Shel Kromim, which only has two machitzos. Let's solve that problem with the Mavud. And we're talking about the Pesach of the Mavud. Now, what's the Pesach of the Mavud? That means that you go from Rosh Hashanah into this alleyway, this Mavud. And then as you travel south, in our description, you enter into the Rechava. At that point, which is the point in which the Mavui reaches or touches the entranceway into the Rechava, that's called the Pesach of the Mavui. That's the entranceway into the Mavui. So you're in the Rechava, you continue north, and you travel into the opening of the Mavui. Says Rava, put up a lechi at that point. And again, we have to reiterate that the Mavui has three machitzos, because the Mavui, in addition to two machitzos on the right and the left, there's a Tzuras HaPesach that separates the, let's call it the exit from the Mavui into Rosh Hashanah. So now this Mavui has three machitzos. I can't carry into the Mavui unless I put up a lechi. I'm going to put up a lechi in the entranceway to the Mavui. And once again, I'm going to apply the logic of Abaye of Migu. And Migu, the Mahani Le Lechi, Le Masa, Mahani Le Nami Le Rechava. Once that lechi serves as a machitza, as a fourth machitza to be Matir Tiltul in the Mavui, it now serves at the same time as a machitza for the Rechava. Because as we said before, once you validate a machitza, you recognize its validity straight across the board. So now you've created a hekef dira on the rechava. A hekef for the sake of dira. Of course, they've decided now they want to use the rechava. And you're allowed to carry in the rechava. Rava now circumvents the problem of the Shvil Shel Kromim, meaning that if you would put up a lechi on the Shvil Shel Kromim, people would make the mistake. Here, we're talking about a mavui. A classic mavui has three machitzos. If it's a mavui sasum, it's closed on the third side. And therefore, it's fine to put up a lechi. The Gemara now has a new question which arises with regard to Rava. And that's going to open up a whole new sugya. Hilkach tiltulei b'masa gufa shari, tiltulei b'rechava gufa shari. At this point, the Gemara says there are two things that are absolutely crystal clear according to Rava's interpretation, and that is you're allowed to carry in the mavui, right? Because the mavui now has a fourth mechitza, so to speak, a lechi in its entryway, and you're allowed to carry in the rechava because now you've set up a machitza, a hekef l'shem dira, that will be matir tiltul, you're allowed to carry now in the rechava. And now, the Gemara says the following, mi masa l'rechava, u'mirechava l'masa, would you be allowed to carry from the mavui into the rechava, but continue into the masa? is Pligi bar Rav Ach of Ravin, Chad Osar v'Chad Shori. So in other words, like this, the Lechi makes the Rechava into a Mokom of Hekef Dira. And you can carry from the Mavui into the Rechava, right? Because now the Mavui is Mutav Tiltal and the Rechava is Mugul Tiltal. You can carry them the other way around from the Rechava to the Masu. So, Pli Barav Achav Ravina, Chad Ome Asav, Chad Shari. Let's just begin Chaf Hei Omet Aleph, and we'll pick this up in Mirza Hashem more in detail tomorrow. Mandi Shari, if you're going to be Matir carrying from the Mavui into the Rechava, the Haleka Diurin. Because there are no chatzeros or batim that open into the Rechava. The Rechava is a self-contained entity. The Mavi opens into the Rechava. And the Rechava is, you know, insofar as it spills into the Mavi, there's no objection here on the part of the Bnei HaMavi for the people to use the Rechava and enter from the Rechava into the Mavui, and therefore you can carry from one into the other. Mandi Osar, what's the reasoning for prohibiting this tiltul? He says, Zimnin Dahavi Beit Diurin, because there are certain situations, not our scenario, where there may be various Dayorim who are living in Batim all around the Rechava, and they will use the Rechava, and they have now their own private reshus in the Rechava. And the Bnei HaMavui really don't have residential rights or legal rights to use the Rechava because there are many different houses and homes that border and spill into the Rechava. And therefore we need an Eruv. If we're going to be Matir Tiltal in the case where there are no homes that spill into the Rechava, then people might mistakenly carry from the Rechava into the Mavui, even in a case where there are homes that have exclusive legal rights to use the Rechava, the Asul Taltule, and they'll violate the Isur Tilt. Now, before I say goodbye to you for today, I just want to point out that what we said in interpreting Rava is the interpretation of Tosfos. Meaning that according to Rava, once you set up this lechi at the entranceway into the Mavui, which is the same as the borderline between the Mavui and the Rechava, you're allowed to carry in the shvil shel kramim. Do you follow what I'm saying? That what happens here is that we view the mavui and the rechava and the shvil shel kramim below it as all one extensive area. Once we're matir tiltul in both the mavui and the rechava, then we have a heter tiltul even in the shvil. That's the way Tosfos learns it. Rashi says that's impossible, because Rava has just established that we have a problem with the shvil shel kramim, because if you allow a lechi to be matu shvil shel kramim, and that's only in this unique case because it's aguda denara and it has a mechitza on the third side, people might mistakenly come to be matu tiltul in a shvil shel kramim with a single lechi. And therefore Rashi says that Rava never meant to allow tiltul in the shvil shel kramim. The Rashba comes to explain Tosfos. How could it be that Rava would, in this case, once he puts the lechi at the entranceway into the mavui, allow carrying in the shvil shel kramim? What about the fear that Rava had mentioned before? So just to read to you two lines of the Rashba, then we'll call it, he says that lo asar Rava l'taltul b'shvil shel kramim al yidei lechi, rak kishalechi ba mitchila kidei lahatir sashvil. if you put up the lechi specifically for the purpose of being matir, tiltal, in the shvil, then people will draw the conclusion that a lechi in general is matir, permits a shvil shel krum. Avol beofen kozesh al lechi ba mitchilos lahatir letaltal b'mavoy. The reason why he set up this lechi is to permit the mavoy, which has three machitzos, and now it needs a lechi. El shliachar asiyas al lechi nasis arachavim ufkefes ledira v'shuv en litav lesa letaltil bashvil. Because, as we said before, the shvil leads into the rechava. You already were matir the rechava because it's pukaf ledira. Is lo shayach ligzar sheyavo letaltil bechol shvil shel kravim al yidei lechi. So the gzera, according to Tosa's interpretation of Rava, that we're afraid that if you put up a lechi on a shvil shel kravim, in the case where there are three machitzas, they'll come to be mistakenly matir with a lechi and a shvil that has two opening ways on both sides, completely open. That only applies when the lechi is placed at the entranceway into the shvil shel krumin. But if the lechi is being placed at the entranceway into the mavui, in order to be matir tiltul, not only in the mavui, but also, so facto, in the rechava, and now that the rechava has a heter tiltul, the shvil shel krumin is an extension or an entranceway into that rechava, and the shvil shel krumin becomes mutter, that's not included in the gzera of Shvil Shel Kramim of Rav. So we're going to end now here on the top of Daf Chaf Heyam and Aleph, and we're up to Karpath on the second line, and that's Amir Tzashem, where we'll pick it up tomorrow.